The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouyeh. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It is Ida Mouyeh, your host. This is your self-empowering as well as self-help program that is targeted specifically for parents of athletes and entertainers. Our show particularly is designed to talk about the business, the economics of sports and entertainment. We try to bring sort of fun back to sports and entertainment from a family point of view. We try to lay the foundation for excellence, and we try to help parents navigate the challenges of actually, you know, determining whether or not their kids will enter into sports or entertainment. We know that's a hard task sometimes, and that's why we bring experts on to talk about these subject matters. Today, our show is about the future of boxing, and our special guest is Chyna Smith. And Chyna, of course, has retired from boxing in 2006, but not without leaving a storm behind. The former NBA heavyweight champion, he had a reputation of big punches and compiling 26 knockouts in his 33 victories. And of course, he retired to concentrate on his personal life as well as to start a nonprofit. He has a reputation of being the positive part of boxing, and we're just so happy to have him with us tonight. At this time, I'd like to welcome Chyna Smith to our show. Welcome to the show, Mr. Smith.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be on your show. I'm very excited to be able to talk to the fans. And just give them a chance to know a little bit about me that doesn't know about me, and I'm just very excited. Thank you.
Well, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to let the cat out of the bag that in high school you were a running back, and Riverview was a pretty tough football school in high school, so I'm sure your abilities must have been so outstanding to be playing on that particular team that you probably could have written your own ticket in the possibly any college, and even the NFL. So tell me, you know, what made you choose boxing over that?
Well, for the ones that don't know, football was my first love coming through as a youth. But and coming to my high school year, as we were speaking about, I felt at the time we should have won the state championship, but we fell short because for whatever reason. And I felt in boxing, it's more of an individual sport, even though it's a team behind you. It's a one-on-one. It's very demanding, and you have nowhere to hide, nowhere to run, no one to call on. The things that you do or don't do can affect your outcome in most cases. So with that opportunity, I decided to go into boxing.
All right. So that was very aggressive on your part. They tell me that you are a southpaw. And I understand to boxing, that's like the bubonic plague, and it means that not only are you a softball, but you are a talented softball. Tell us a little bit what that softball means in boxing.
Well, most fighters, majority of fighters are orthodox. And when you're a softball, as myself, it's kind of different because, but like I said, majority of the fighters, especially heavyweight, they're going to, when their opponents are orthodox, so it's common. When we have a softball, he's going the opposite direction, which they don't like to move, so it makes it a little uncomfortable. And at times, it's very hard to pick an opponent for you to fight and match up with until you move up to that next level, to the higher rank, where, of course, the money makes it demanding that you have to fight. And for a southpaw, it's a good position to be in.
Okay, and just to toot your horn a little bit, I understand that you won the U.S. Junior National Championship, and then you turned pro at 18 years old, and then your three-time Sunshine State Championship, as well as Florida State Tournament title. And again, you know, on your way to, you know, being a heavyweight champion, you obviously met a lot of people along the lines, and you had a lot of mentors and a lot of motivators. Tell me a little bit about that journey. I mean, who was the first person with you at 18, and how did that progress for you?
Well, I'm very close to my family, my father, through my training as a kid, and to my professional, he was there for me. And I met a lot of mentor older guys, and not to get into names, but, you know, met a lot of people that, and I was able to learn from them, like I would call, not so much as college, but education, university of the real world, learning firsthand, meeting with different promoters, business owners, CEOs, a lot of athletes. And I got a chance to experience. They told me some of, some of the mistakes they made. I got an opportunity to value and look at and observe and learn from their mistakes and some of their success. And I've been very blessed to, I guess in order to be a great leader, you first must be a follower. So I was going to school in my early career.
Excellent. Now, you know, I said at the beginning of the hour here that you represent what boxing calls as positive. And that reputation has come from all the various different things that you do in the ring. And obviously, even though you've had, 26 KOs and you've won 33 fights, your opponents still see you as a good guy. And so, you know, that's kind of unheard of in boxing, because most people think boxing is like these are the guys who will just really take you out. And so give me a sense of boxing from, you know, the family perspective, because, I mean, there's a lot of people who enjoy boxing and probably don't get a chance to attend any of these matches. But how can they ground up begin to appreciate boxing? You know, neighborhood boxing, let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, as I told you, as a note, I run the boxing and the Manatee Police Athletic League, and I have turned into the not just the boxing, boxing and fitness. As you say, and know, a lot of people are afraid to boxing. They hear, when they hear boxing, they hear fighting, they run out. Well, I don't want my child, I don't want to be hit, get hit upside the head, et cetera. But it's not all of that. One, it's good for conditioning. It's good to a stress reliever, you know, because with the economy going on, with tension at your job or the house, people need a place where they can relieve their stress, kids need a place where they can go let out energy and explode and don't have to pay the consequences. But that's what a boxing, that's what the boxing gym is for. Now, the ones that wants to do it to another level, then you have those two that's a little different. But I think the majority of the fighters, a lot of people don't understand that we're really nice guys if you get a chance to know us and sit down with. When we're fighting, it's boxing is the only sport you, it's called classified as a business. That's our job. They go out there, and I tell people, when it's time to fight, I'm a different person. My whole characteristic changed, my attitude. I'm not the same person. But outside of the boxing, I'm with my family guy. I'm called a people's champ because I love people. That's a different thing. That's my everyday going. When you have to be the best, you have to be able to rise to that level. And boxing is the only sport in the world where you have legalized license to kill. And I tell people, you don't play the game. So it's not a game you play. So you have to be mentally prepared as well as physical, because boxing is also 70% mental as well as 30% physical. So you have to make sure that your mental capacity is up to par to go in the ring. And I think that if more people took the time to evaluate the outside of boxing, other than just seeing two guys, you know, fighting, you know, one gets knocked out or one gets hurt or whatever, and look at if you take two grown men, in boxing is the only sport that you don't have to have high education. You could be, you could have elementary and middle school. Normally, every other sport other than baseball, you have to at least be classified to go to high school. But you take two grown professional men, and they're fighting, and then the control and discipline that they have, that two men they can stop on a complete bell and go turn around, go to their corner, and sit down and listen to their instructions, and then hear another bell and continue to fight. And I tell people if that's not discipline, what is? So boxers are very, we're very disciplined people.
Now, that's interesting to hear. Now, one of the things I looked at was the concussion rate for sports. And believe it or not, the highest concussion rate is in women's soccer.
Wow.
Versus, say, boxing is like fourth or fifth on the list. It's almost next to the NFL.
Yeah.
Football. So that's another misnomer that's out there as well. Now, again, people see the blood, you know, because sometimes you do see the bloodletting. They do see people get knocked out, and you've had 26 KOs. What that means is somebody went unconscious.
Right.
That's correct. So is that, do that mean that you inflict a concussion on them, or does that mean that they just, I mean, is it a certain way that you have to hit a person? I mean, what is the effect of 26 KOs? That's a lot of heads right there.
Well, the difference is the one thing that we have different in other sports, I believe. See, when a person sees, you know, we have no equipment. We don't have a headgear on. We don't have shoulder pads on. We can't call time out. We don't have a partner to go to. So, well, we do have a ref. We don't, and I tell people, I tell these kids that the guy, you don't even know his name, he's your best friend right there. He's the only one that can save you while you're fighting. But the thing about boxing, if you do get knocked out, if you do get semi-dazed or hurt, the referee will stop the fight or give you an eight count that let you recoup and let you get yourself together. If you can't get yourself together, if you seem out of it, he will stop, and then right after the fight, you have to see a medical doctor, and then the doctor will examine you as a medical term, and then and give you a mandatory 30, 60, 90 days as long as you need to recuperate, where you can't do anything else, pretty much as far as physical. Now, with other sports like football, these guys get head concussions and dislocated shoulders and knee pulls out, and they get shot up with the painkiller. They're right back out there. The difference is, too, like I said, football, these guys get hit all over their body, but they have the equipment. So guys, people, the fans, they don't see what's going on with the boxing. Like, you don't have anything to cover. So when a guy gets hit or gets cut, everybody sees the blood. Everybody sees what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I can see that. Obviously, it does take skill. We're hearing about boxing from a professional point of view. We're with China Howard Smith, southpaw, former NBA heavyweight champion. He's going to be with us for the whole hour to talk about the future of boxing. And we'll ask him if Mayweather's return to boxing is the new future. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moya, your host, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Got it! With 2.8 seconds left
to left.
I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place to meet?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
In
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and we're talking about the future of boxing. And we have in our studio the former NBA heavyweight champion, China Smith. And, of course, China has retired temporarily. He left the ring with 33 wins as well as 26 KOs. And at the turn of the half an hour here, we were talking about the future of boxing, but also trying to get into the actual myth of boxing in terms of whether or not these boxers are friendly, are they kind, are they gentle creatures. And we have learned from talking with China that he has a reputation as being actually a really nice guy. And I think the reason for that is that he had a lot of great mentors and people who work with him, and obviously showed him that boxing is a way of life, and you have to bring sportsmanship to that. I want to welcome China back to the show and thank him again for joining us. China, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thank you. My pleasure. Anytime.
Well, China, you know, everybody's talking about Floyd Mayweather Jr. returning back to boxing. And it's very interesting because the first thing he did when he got his paycheck is that he paid the IRS $5.6 million in back taxes before he actually took his purse. Now, you know, again, IRS does come calling because these are public bouts. People know that, in fact, you know, what the purses are. And so how much of boxing is business?
Oh, that's, I would say, from my opinion, I would say 85% business. I mean, you know, this is pretty boiled down to business, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now does anyone, like, for instance, you've got a manager. You obviously have some agent of some sort. And I'm assuming that that individual is in charge of making sure that you get the best bouts that you can get, the best purses that you can get. But is there anything done like pre-planning of what's going to happen with that money?
Well, that's the problem what happened with so many athletes, so many entertainers, even with myself. That's why I took some time off to evaluate my career. But now... because what happened is, you know, the fighter or the entertainer or per se is doing so many, you know, interviews, competition. They might not have the time, but they shouldn't take the responsibility. It shouldn't be on their shoulders by themselves. That's why you have a manager. That's why you have a team to concentrate. That's their job, to make sure that the money, that you have something to fall back on, that you have a guideline, that you have plans that if you get hurt or if you can't fight or if you can't perform anymore, what's going to happen? And set up trust for your kids, for your family. And then a lot of times, athletes and celebrities they don't have that set up. And that's one of the things that I have learned through my experience, that you need to have. And a lot of times, you need to have business people, and that's conducting your business, and not so much as friends. And it's good to have an entourage, but you want to make sure you have the right type of entourage with you, I think.
So what I hear you saying is that, you know, you understand that boxing is a sport, but boxing is also a business.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so clearly, you know, the purse was $10 million, and the IRS, the commission was, Nevada commission was notified right away that $5.6 million of that money was to go to the IRS. Now, the question that comes to my mind is that without planning, $5.6 million went to the IRS. But with some type of planning, perhaps maybe that wouldn't have been the case, and we'll get more into that when we talk about charities because, you know, obviously every athlete needs to have their own foundation and they need to give back, and at the same time, giving back has its benefits as well, both personally and monetarily as well as in terms of, community-wise. Now, let's talk about Floyd Mayweather. Okay, we know that he's been known for his flashy cars and all that, but he also does a lot of things in charity as well. He comes from the Mayweather family, which is just the uncles, the father, all of those various different individuals are involved in that. And he made a comment once, and I think he later retracted, that boxing was an art, but the UFC and MMA fighting was actually a fad. But interesting, this week, Herschel Walker, a two-time Pro Bowler and a Heisman Trophy winner, has signed for multi-fight contracts. So that's going to bring a lot of credibility to that group. But how do you view those things in view of boxing yourself, China?
What makes martial arts, UFC, the cage fighting, I believe, first and foremost, anyone that gets in a competition as well as boxing and a one-on-one competition, it takes a different person, different type of breed for a human being to get in there. But as Mayweather said, and so many other fighters and even the boxing, true boxing fans say, the boxing is an art. It's an art form. It's, you know, it's, and with the mixed martial arts and UFC, cage fighting, all that, it's more of a street fighting brawl where who's tough, you know, and the toughest guy is going to win. Not in boxing. You could be the toughest, you could be the strongest guy, but that don't necessarily mean you're going to win. And in boxing, like there's no comparison. It's one of the oldest business way back in the gladiator days, in the Roman days, and it's going to be around. It's not going anywhere. You know, when this UFC came out, it got red hot at the time, and I believe that because there's really no American heavyweight. For the first time, American heavyweights right now, I had kind of went out. You know, there's two or three top heavyweights that's American, but most of them are the Ukraine with the Klitschko and et cetera. So I think, you know, heavyweight controlled the boxing for many, many, many years, and that's where I think that had slowed down a little bit. But with the Mayweathers and the De La Hoyas and stuff, doing what they're doing is keeping it very hot. It's going to always be hot.
Well, boxing, of course, you know, when I think of boxing, I think of Muhammad Ali, because the only place you can go in the world where everybody knows one person, Muhammad Ali. I mean, that's, you know, I've been over in the Middle East. I've been to Russia. I mean, they always ask me that question about Muhammad Ali. And then, of course, we've fared very well in a previous Olympics. Beijing, we did so-so in Beijing, but at the same time, you know, there's been questions about whether or not we will ever see boxing at the level that we saw it during the Muhammad Ali era. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, first and foremost, there's only one Muhammad Ali, you know, and he was and still is the greatest as far as I'm concerned. But he brought true color to boxing, so to duplicate what he has done, I think would be very hard, almost impossible. But I think it's just a matter of time, and that's one of the reasons for myself, I'm not considering, but I am getting back into boxing because the heavyweight division is wide open. And everyone knows, in boxing, you know, you have these guys, these fighters, which are doing very well. But heavyweight, for so many years, Muhammad Ali, Rocky Marciano, all the way back Joe Louis, and Ed Sullivan, is heavyweight. And that's where all the major money is. That's where the fame is, you know, because there's only one heavyweight. And it belongs to America, and that's where it's at, I think.
Well, getting back to boxing, I hear you saying that you're in training right now.
Yes.
And that you believe that heavyweight is wide open right now. And the big question is that who will Mayweather fight next? I understand that everybody's talking about him taking on a lot of different people. And I'm sure that, you know, they talked about Mosley, they talked about William, Berto, and Cotto. And, you know, Shane wants a piece of that. We saw that during the fight because he surely made it known. Who do you think he should fight next?
Me personally, Mayweather, he's undefeated. He took time off and came back and fought a tremendous fight, his last fight. And I don't see why he should keep fighting. I mean, unless because, you know, that's when it comes a point in time when you reach it, when you reach the height of the hype, you have to know when to hold, when to fold, or when to hang the bag. I mean, you know, unless there's a lot of money, which, you know, obviously money talks, and you know the rest. I think he just should be careful and pay close attention because everybody's acting right now. So he's in demand. So he just needs to make sure him and his people make the right decision. And just make sure the money's laid out and get everything taken care of why he's out. And just be very careful because this is a business. So I don't see him have to just jump out there and just fight. I think he's getting ready or talking about fighting Ricky Hatton. But I think he should just take his time and just evaluate everybody.
So let's talk a little bit about strategy, because obviously, you know, I mean, I've worked with a lot of athletes going to the draft for basketball and for football, and our show has been very, very keen on, you know, answering those questions about how to break through and make those changes. I want to hear a little bit from you, China, when we come back from our break, about that mindset of a boxer compared to the zone that a lot of players go into. And let's talk about that athletic mind. And again, get inside of Mayweather's, because I understand that, you know, he's talking about mind over matter here in this last fight, although his opponent said it was the extra weight. But we'll get back in three, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
The opening kickoff is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neal. He's at the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams. Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you. Every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. On the Voice America Sports Network.
The fans now have a voice to speak their mind. No holds barred.
They need to bitch his ass and then move on.
I just think that the coach made a mistake.
All crazy.
NFL, MLB, NBA, NHL. Speak up.
Speak up.
Or forever hold your mouth.
We ain't playing around here.
Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Moyer, and if you've been listening to us the last half an hour, we have in our studio the former NBA heavyweight champion, China Smith. Of course, China has retired since 2006. He is in training right now, and he is ready to come back to the heavyweight boxing arena and take some of that real estate away. China, I want to welcome you back to the show.
Hey, thanks again.
Well, China, you know, we're really talking about boxing and breathing some life into boxing and really taking some of the stereotypes away from boxing. And one of the things you mentioned in the last half an hour is that when you go into the ring, you're a totally different person than you are out of the ring. Now, I know that you have a lot of aspirations that you do in charity, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But tell me a little bit about that zone that you have to go into, and how do you manifest that, or is there some type of mantra that you use to get into that?
Well, there's three steps, three things I put in my mind when I'm getting ready for a fight to help me get in that mental stage, frame of mindset. Is one, I could be knocked unconscious. I could be two, I could be paralyzed. And three, I could be killed. With those three things in mind, I know this is something that my mind had to be 100% focused and had to be prepared. And when I go in there, I put everything that I love and own and work so hard for, and I just get in a whole different character. 3, 4, 5 days before a fight, I get isolated. You know, like I get so motivated, so pumped up, and so something overcomes me, because I know that, you know, it's the belief that if you believe in something and strong enough, if you want it bad enough, you'll go out there and get it. And so you play a little mind chess with your mind. To get you to that level, to that you're unstoppable, and you don't care who it is or what it is, it cannot beat you.
Well, that's important, and that's obviously, I'm hoping that in that mindset is obviously the grace of God as well, you know, because we always need that on our side as well, going in and taking on something like that. Well, I'm going to shift gears a little bit here. I want to talk about China Smith and Friends. And understand, looking back at your involvement, you have been heavily, heavily involved in actually, you know, with the future of young people and offering some great opportunities to them. So give me sort of a little bit about what China Smith and Friends really is.
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I would like to correct, and I appreciate I put God in everything I do. That's without God, I'm nothing. So God is my everything. I just want to clear that up. But China Smith and Friends started two and a half years ago. As I said, I took time off of boxing to evaluate my career. And I wanted to do something positive. You know, I do a lot of speaking, Salvation Army, Boys and Girls Club, YMCA. A friend of mine, a political figure, had said that kids, I'll make up 25% of the population, but they're 100% of the future. And I believe with all the economies and things that's going on now, a lot of kids are lost right now. And when kids that we're dealing with start losing their dreams, they don't want to be a doctor, don't want to be an athlete, don't want to be a lawyer, and they start looking to games, they start looking to drugs, and, you know, negative things. I feel that they're lost. And so I tried, and I'm playing or trying to play at least not a major, but major to myself, that I to be able to let kids know that, hey, there is somebody out there for you. There is someone that won't want to try not to judge you, just here to listen to you. I'm going to show you to cry on. Can't say every kid, but you can say one and inspire this kid and help this kid get on the right track in the right direction. I think you're doing something. That's what I try to do.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the activities and programs that you actually have been engaging in.
I've been involved with, I'm involved with Keeping Sarasota Beautiful. I adopted two streets. We do a total of eight cleanups a year. Like I said, I'm involved with big organizations, YMCA, Boys and Girls Club. I'm also involved with a small organization, and I'm involved in running, managing the Power of Medici Police Athletics, Boxing and Fitness. And, you know, we do car washes for fundraisers. We put on little boxing events, amateur for the kids. And we do a lot of, we do Christmas events, Christmas party. Matter of fact, this year, we haven't picked a location yet, but we're going to have, give some gifts, presents for the kids so they can, the unfortunate kids, because I deal with a lot of unfortunate parents that, and that's when you know that your struggle, your situation, how hard you think you're going through, is not as bad when you look to your left and look to your right and you see a family that's really struggling. And then that's what we try to do with China's with the Friends, is be able to reach the parents and the kids and tell them that they are somebody out there that care. And I tell people, if I'm not doing it or there's something out there and you're for the kids, you're for the people, I'm all about let's team up, let's join up, let's join together and work as a team. Teamwork makes the dream work.
Now, I understand that in 2007, you had your first fitness camp, 5-week camp open to 8 to 18-year-olds and was held at the prestigious Sarasota Military Academy. Tell me the primary focus of that camp.
Well, you're very good. The camp was basically to reach the unprivileged kids, the kids that they sit around and they don't help clean up around the house, the kids that are non-athletes, to get them out there to work, start working out, just with baby steps, start jogging, start running sprints, playing a little football, a little basketball, doing exercises. Then we had a little cleanup, and teach about more, it's about life. I teach about respect, start believing in yourself, start setting small goals as well as big goals. I don't care what your situation, your circumstances right now. If you believe in God, if you listen to your parents, listen to your teacher, you can become and achieve anything you want to be if you start today.
So literally what you're doing is that you're teaching them about perseverance. You're teaching them about good nutrition. Performance is important, improvement, and obviously having a lot of fun. I would like to know a little bit about, we always talk about the children, but one of the things that we focus here on Sports Maverick is to get the parents involved, because we have found that parents really are the catalyst to getting these kids to and from a lot of these activities, but oftentimes they drop them off and then they disappear. And they really and truly don't reinforce what it is they've learned because they're not a part of it. And I'd like to know, what kind of efforts have you been able to do in your particular programs to get parents involved?
Well, what we do, we have also a program where, like for our gym, we cut the price down very, very reasonable. It's $25 per person. And we change the ages from 8 years old to there's no limit. You can be 100-something years old and come to our gym. We have it available where kids can come, and like you said, where the parent not drop the kids off, but could come right there and work out with the kid so they can build that family bond. And we have a law enforcement. We have all walks of life of people that come. And my big motto, my big thing is, I don't care where you're from outside, when you come into my gym and my facility, we are as one. We all work together, pray together, play together, and and just so the family, the mother, the father, could build that close bond with their kid, which a lot of parents and a lot of kids are missing out. My thing is, why are the kids doing some of the things they're doing? It's because, as you said, and we all know, the parents are not there. Because if you've been the sapling when it's young, you know, and instilling these kids as babies when they're youth, you know, when they become older men and older women, older ladies, they will have a better chance, they will have a better perspective about life, I think.
Yeah, I think that's true, and that does bear witness in terms of the kind of work that you are doing. It's clear that you are reaching into the depths of these children and also these parents and bringing a very positive image, not only to the area that you're serving through the input of the children going back home into their neighborhoods, but also the image of boxing. And I want to continue with that because I think it's important for people to understand that, athletes today have a very tough time because they're so public, and everything they do is scrutinized. But unfortunately, the things that they do that are positive, like what you're doing, they go unnoticed. And you find a lot of times that the press like the sensationalism of the bad things, but they miss the really good things. And that's what we try to do here, is we try to really emphasize the positive things out there. Now, I want to get your take on a couple of things. And, being that you are a Floridian, you will be happy to know that the SEC is still the strongest football conference, and the Florida Gators is unanimously number one. So, Tim Tebow is a Christian man.
Yes, he is.
And he has shown that over and over and over and above. But the press tends to want to attack him for being the Christian person, but also the Trojan on the football field. And there's a dichotomy between that because, you know, like you talked about how you're a different person when you're, you know, in a ring than you are when you actually are outside of the ring. Talk a little bit how you manage that.
Well, you know, it's very hard. And I do understand at times why certain celebrities or certain people, it's hard to get back because, as you said, the media, the press, a lot of times we're so caught up on negativity. That's one of my logos, and we knock out negativity any kind of way it comes. And but you have to try to just stay, don't let the negativity get to you. And knowing if they're talking about you, you must be doing something wonderful. And, you know, I have people like my uncle that owns a restaurant, my family business, one of the oldest business in Sarasota, black business brand. And he used to tell me all the time when I was younger, going to high school, right before I became a professional, even when I was started pro boxing. He said, son, never get too big. Never get too big-headed or big that you can't come back and put on his apron and flip these burgers. That keeps me ground-rooted.
Okay. So kind of gives you kind of like that feeling of you can always come home, okay? But you got to come right when you come. So,
yes.
Okay. All right, folks, you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show, and we've got former heavyweight champion China Smith in our studio, and we'll be back in three. We want to hear a little bit more about what he's doing to change the face of boxing. This is Ida Moya, your host. You're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports,
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
We some hard hitters.
Hard-hitting radio is a new kind of sports and entertainment show. Your hosts are NFL veterans Mark McMillan and co-host Byron Evans. It's an hour of hater-free radio every week. You'll hear interviews with top athletes, celebrities, coaches, and fans. It's humor, hits, and conversation. Hard-hitting radio is on with McMillan and Evans. Listen Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Network.
Tune into the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
School to the pros, we cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We're in our last 8 minutes of our show, and we have been visiting with the former NBA heavyweight champion, China Smith. And, of course, we've got some news out there for you folks. And Elise that just wrote into our email, and Kevin, we want to let you know your dream is coming true. China is heading back to the ring. China, welcome back to the show. Tell us, folks, what's next for you here.
Well, I just want my fans, my friends, to know, thanks for being very supportive always. And just watch out for me in the near future because I am coming back and I'm going to make a name bigger and better. The best is yet to come. I have a lot more understanding. And so look out for me, China Smith, the people's champ.
That's outstanding, folks. You're hearing it here first on Sports Maverick that China Smith is coming back to take some of that heavyweight real estate back. You talked about the heavyweight is, it's completely open field now, and you think it's a great time to return, and the opportunity is there. And I just want to know what you think that you have, which is that X factor that you're going to be bringing back that you can say your opponents have to look out for.
Well, I'm bringing back speed, and you know, the power hasn't went anywhere. I think it's increased, so you know, now I have more maturity because when I first I was very young, but I just have a lot more. I'm an athlete that can box more so, not just a puncher or just a standstill guy. So just be watching that because I got a lot of tricks up my sleeve.
Well, folks, you're hearing it now. The magician is back, and the dragon is back, and you can expect some greatness coming back to that ring. The nice guy, okay? Nice guy out of the ring, but he is definitely the dynamite dragon in the ring. So we are just so happy to have him here and to hear about the great things he's doing in the community and in the ring, and has done in the past, and just a positive image. And we're expecting greatness here. And China, I don't want you to be a stranger. I want you to come back and, you know, let us hear about what you're doing. And on behalf of the Sports Maverick Inc. and Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moye, we'd like to tell you that you are our Sports Maverick of the Week. Now, we don't take that lightly, because we believe that you have to have the positive image in your community. You have to be positive about promoting education, scholarship, as well as promoting as a role model good, good instincts for our kids out there, so they can follow, that they have someone to look up to. And we think that you are definitely fit that mold. So we want to just congratulate you as the Sports Maverick of the Week. Now, before we say goodbye to you, I just want to thank you for being on our show. And as we close our show out, a couple things I want to mention is that keep in mind, folks, Joy Browner and Henry Lawrence are up again for the NFL Hall of Fame. Joy Browner played with USC. He also was a six-time Pro Bowler with Minnesota Vikings. He's from the famous Browner brother family, which is Max Starks' family. You've got Henry Lawrence right from the Palmetto, Florida. He is up for the third time for the Pro Bowl. Hopefully this will be a charm for Henry in getting in. He played with Oakland Raiders. He's a three-time Pro Bowler as well as three-time Super Bowl veteran as well. So kudos to them. These two are great examples of role models out there in the community. They were great on the field and excellent off the field as well. In addition to that, folks, there is a crisis in Georgia with the floods. Georgia State University, my alma mater, is offering a food drive as well as a blood drive to raise money for those flood victims. Go to www.georgiastatesports.com or call 404-413-4046 so you can be helpful with that. And September the 21st, yesterday, was actually Peace Day in the world. And Peace in Sports, which is the international initiative by the Honorable Prince of Monaco, is now very, very strong. If you remember, in 2007, we launched that initiative here on our show, had the prince and his fellow countrymen on there, Paul Puzoa, a fellow Olympian, to launch that. And now we can say that not only do they have 40 countries strong supporting the peace camp effort, but Mandela just opened up his new sports camp with Dwight Howard from the Magic, and several people there christening that. So that's one of the great things happening. And then they opened one up in Afghanistan as well, Max Starks of Pittsburgh Steelers in 2006 attended that. So we've got some great things going with the Peace Sports Group as well. And we also want to make sure that we send a special, special, special prayer out to Plexico Burris. I've known Plexico Burris for many, many years, and it is an atrocity that he has 2 years in prison for carrying a loaded gun. But he is being made an example by New York that you don't come into New York with a loaded gun. Plexico is a unbelievably talented wide receiver that is going to, we're not going to have him anymore for at least 2 years. Okay, folks, we're coming to the end. We want to thank China for being with us. China Smith, do not be a stranger. And folks, remember, hug those kids whether they win or lose. This is Ida Moye, your host, and thank you for another great show. And China, thank you for being a great, great guest tonight. Good night, folks. This is Ida Moye signing off.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyet and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.